Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for our consideration this morning, the seventh Sunday after Pentecost, is the Gospel reading from Luke 10. You have this as an insert in your bulletin, so I will not repeat it. Well, you know, if you've been around the church very long, you've heard this story about the Good Samaritan many times. And generally, it's given to us as a text to be a good example. This is how you are to love your neighbor. And most assuredly, that is a law interpretation. And that's how Jesus intended it for the man who asked the question. And that leads us right into our text. A biblical scholar came to Jesus and asked, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Well, as good Lutherans, we know the law teaches us what God demands of us. What must I do according to the law is really the question there. And of course, Jesus gives him exactly what he wants. He gives him a law answer. Obey the law perfectly, and you will inherit eternal life. Lord, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your being, and love your neighbor as yourself. That is the complete summary of the law. The scholar has no problem loving God. That's easy. God is perfect. God is loving. God really probably has blessed him, as he was probably not a poor man, but probably more on the wealthier side. But this neighbor business, again, with the law. Who, teacher, is my neighbor? Then Jesus gives him this parable. In verse 30, he says, "A man was going down from Jerusalem, and he fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him and departed from him, leaving him half dead." That's a pretty important verse, as we'll be going through a few more here in a moment. But here you have this good man, and he is traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. And honestly, this is not the best place to be at any time. It was a rocky desert road that had many places for robbers and bandits and lowlifes, frankly, to hang out. And they just waited for travelers to come along to beat them over the head and take whatever they had. But, frankly, there was no other choice. This was the only route that could be taken through these hills and through this area. So here we have this man laying on the side of the road, half dead, stripped. He has nothing. Someone needs to help him. And in verse 31, a priest walks by. Oh, surely a priest will stop. He's a holy man. And no. The priest does not stop. In fact, he walks on the other side of the road. He has better things to do than help this man. He really didn't want to get his hands dirty. So he moves on. Next we have a Levite. Ooh, a Levite. He will help this man. He knows who his neighbor is, just as the priest did. He knows he is a man of God. He is a Levite. He is a leader in the church. He knows what is wrong and what is right. He's known this since childhood. He has been raised as a Levite, a man set aside to serve God. Yet, this man does the same. He goes to the other side of the road. He doesn't want to be bothered with this business. And frankly, maybe this is a trick. Maybe this man is only faking it, and he's going to hit me over the head and rob me. This is a pretty bad neighborhood, you know. So I'll keep on walking. Someone else will help him. Then verse 33. A Samaritan is there. Not a Jew. Not a holy man. A Samaritan. Samaritans were seen by the Israelites as half-breeds. They're pretty ungodly people. They don't worship in Jerusalem. They don't obey the laws of God the way we do. They're different. Surely this is not the man who is going to help this Israelite. Why would he? He has nothing to gain. He has everything to lose. His Israelite brothers would not thank him. His Samaritan brothers would probably ridicule him and ask him, why would you do such a foolish thing? He's an Israelite. He wouldn't have helped you. In fact, I am confident he would have walked right past you if you were the one laying in the ditch on the side of the road. Yet, that's exactly the one who stops and helps this poor man. Not only that, he stops and uses wine as an antiseptic so his wounds won't get infected, and rubs oil on this man's wounds to soothe them and comfort this man. But wait, there's more. Instead of getting on his donkey and riding away saying, well, I've done my thing. Blessings to you, brother. I have business to do. This is a merchant's road, you know. No, instead he puts him on his own animal and takes him to an inn, where he pays a little money in advance and tells the innkeeper, take care of this man for me. And if he needs anything, put it on my bill. Now, this is pretty unexpected. Why would a Samaritan do all this? Because, frankly, the Samaritan knew who his neighbor was. So Jesus then asks the question, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? Well, duh. Jesus leads this man right into the mouth of the lion, so to speak. Even the law expert knows it was the Samaritan. The Samaritan knew his neighbor was anyone who was around him. Young or old, black or white, Jew or Gentile, everyone is our neighbor. But this seems like all kinds of law. This is what you must do to be saved. Like I said, it is law. If we want to go the way of the law, then we can do that. God says right here, our Lord Jesus Christ says, if you want to inherit eternal life, obey God and His commandments. So then, are you a good Samaritan? Would you stop if you saw an injured man in the very worst part of town? Think about it. Very few, probably none of us, would stop. I would imagine that none of you really live in that part of town. Few, if any of you, have bars on your windows. Do you really hear gunshots every night when the sun goes down? Are you afraid to leave your house that someone might harm you or your family? Probably not. And if you do, God bless you. And we'll pray for you in your need. But honestly, each one of us would probably give some excuse, just as the priest and Levite did. Well, I'm a woman. Ah, let's pull that card out. I'm a woman. Oh, that's not a place for a woman to be. Everyone knows women are the fairer sex, you know. So that's not my place. Someone else will help them. They weren't one of my kind. Maybe this man was black or Hispanic or old or young or just looked suspicious. He's not one of my kind. And he sure doesn't look Lutheran to me. We can think of many excuses. And the best, of course, is, well, someone else will help him. I'm reminded by my father and my older relatives of the times when hitchhiking was almost an admirable thing to do. If you needed to get from one place to another, alternate means of transportation. Now, how many of you would pick up a hitchhiker these days, let alone one that's maybe laying bleeding on the side of the road? Very few of you. Because frankly, we have deemed that as not safe. And besides, someone else will help him. And besides, we live in the 21st century. We have no time for this nonsense. We have policemen and firemen and all those kinds of people to help him. That's what we pay them for. I have no time for this nonsense. Besides, I'm not a doctor. How can I help them? I just don't have time. And think about that for a moment. We're using the exact same excuses, and that's what they are, as the priest and the Levites. We can be sure that something like this was their reasoning behind not stopping and helping this man. So, that leaves us pretty judged. Huh. God said that if we want to inherit eternal life, we must obey the commandments. And again, just like that keeper of the law, that lawyer, we have no problem loving God, really. We come to church on Sunday, we do the best we can, but it's that neighbor business that gets to be a little bit of a sticky wicket, as they say. It's hard to love our brothers and sisters because they're sinners. They don't do what we want them to. They don't act the way we want them to. They especially don't say the things we want them to. And besides, they're not like us. But let us remember something. We're not saved by our keeping of the law. We are saved because of what Jesus has done for us. Thanks be to God that Jesus is our Good Samaritan. Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying here. Jesus is the Good Samaritan. If we look at verses 21 to 24 right before our text, Jesus tells us that no one obtains a presence before God except through the Son. That He and the Father are one. They're forever joined. And it is through Him that we inherit eternal life. We know the Son because we are the injured man on the road. Think of this. How many of you right now are living in the Garden of Eden? None of you. You live in a pretty rough and tumble world, don't you? You live in a world of sin, a world that strips you of your dignity at times, a world that causes you to do things you'd never think of doing. And it has left you abandoned, on the side of the road, helpless. You're not going anywhere because you are dead in your transgressions. And this is where Jesus comes along. Jesus, the Good Samaritan, comes and picks us up, soothes our wounds, puts us on His animal. He takes us to the inn. And that inn is the church. It is here that your wounds of this world are healed. It is here that you are soothed and comforted, and you know everything will be all right in the end. And best of all, we don't even pay for it. Our rescuer, our Savior, has paid the bill. He has paid, given a down payment, and when He returns, everything will be paid for and fulfilled. He is our Savior. This is why, though we are dead to sin, we are alive in Christ. We were as good as dead, but Jesus rescues us. The story of the Good Samaritan is more about Jesus and what He has done for us than what we could ever do for our neighbor or for God. The law teaches us what God expects of us. He demands perfection. Remember the story of the rich young man in Matthew? This is a very similar story. The rich young man comes to Jesus and says, "What must I do to be saved?" And Jesus says the same thing. And likely, maybe it's the same man, but a different version. And Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself and love God. And the rich young man says, "Oh, that's wonderful. I've done that since I was a child." "Good, young man," Jesus says. "Sell everything and follow me." That stopped this young man dead in his tracks because he was a wealthy man. And he wasn't willing to give up his wealth for God. So he didn't even get past the first commandment, let alone the other nine. But we know that we are not saved by our own justification. We are saved because of the gospel, because Jesus has died for our sins. He has saved us. He has brought us from death to life. And this gospel teaches us of God's great love for us and His sacrifice for us. And that is the real story of the Good Samaritan. That God works through us to do good things, but more importantly, that He has done great things for us. Praise be to God for His great love. Now the peace of God, which far surpasses our understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.